Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Sanford Health has launched a new department for veterans and military services, broadcasting live today from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Joining me in the studio, Paul Weckman. He is a retired U.S. Navy captain and current director of Sanford's efforts in that department. Paul, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.
Let's start with a little bit of your background from Minnesota, right?
Yes, I grew up in Mankato, Minnesota, went to Mankato State, and after that decided to join the Navy. So I grew up there. We still have a farm south of town. But
why the Navy at that time? People always ask me that. I never know how to answer it, and here I am asking you.
Well, it was, I actually wanted to be what they call a game warden, or, you know, working for Fish and Wildlife. That's what my background degree is in. And by the time it came time to get hired, the state at that time had a hiring freeze. And most of the guys that I rode with for my residency or internship were all Vietnam veterans. And they all said, you know, you join the military, get your veterans preference points, and 4 years will go by quicker than you think. And you come back here, you'll have an up on everybody else with those extra preference points, and then you'll get a job. And then 26 years later of the military, I got out.
All right, so Vietnam veterans advising you or encouraging you to go ahead and serve. What does that sort of tell you about those men at the time?
Well, I think all of our service connected in that they're serving, performing, and helping out people. They serve their country, and then they were serving their state, and they're serving those people there. They're all about service. And to me, that's what I think I am, too, is my passion or my calling is serving others and helping others. I did it in 26 years, and this, to me, a lot of people say, well, how's this job at Sanford doing? I says, well, it's not a job. It's more of a calling for me. I get to continue to serve veterans. What a cool thing, and also help out with families and help out also with active duty and guard members.
The Navy, the military, the United States changes so much. The mission of the military changes so much in the time that you're involved when you're in the Navy. How did you sort of handle those transitions and changes and what was happening around you from a leadership perspective?
Well, that's one thing, though, that it takes a special person, I think, when, you know, you raise your right hand and you swear to abide by the rules, regulations, and the code of conduct, and excuse me a second. and so sometimes you might not feel that these are something that you might follow, but you have to follow that Constitution. You have to follow those laws and rules that have been, those officers appointed over you. So that is just something we have to do.
Some things do not change. Let's talk a little bit about Sanford's Veterans and Military Services Department. This is a new thing. When does it kick off? When do you become involved with the project?
Well, last February, I was contacted by Sanford. I thought maybe they'd be more like wanting to do some consulting work or something for me. So we sat down for a few hours with executive leadership. We did some synergizing, if you want to call that, and we came up with some kind of ideas of maybe this is the way Sanford would want to go. And shortly afterwards, within a day or two, they called me and says, hey, we'd like to offer you a position, and we'd like you to run this program. And so I said, wow, I'll talk to the wife and see how she feels about that. And so she thought it was a great idea, and from that point on, we moved forward.
All right. What's the need that we're looking at here? And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Paul Weckman. He is the current director of Sanford Health's new Department on Veterans and Military Services. He's a retired U.S. Navy captain. And I'm wondering, let's talk about the need. What were you seeing? What was Sanford leadership seeing, a need that needed to be met?
Well, what we came up with is, being a military guy, says, what is your desired end state? What do you want me to fulfill? What do you want me to do? And so some of the things that we came up with, basically the main three, was we wanted to be an employer of choice for veterans, their family members, guard, reserve, and active duty people. We just know that the work ethics, their, you know, basically standards, work, and all those that come with the military people is a great attribute to have to work with Sanford. So we came up with a lot of programs with that. I can dive on that in a few minutes. The second one is we want to be a provider of choice. Excuse me. and being a provider of choice. Not many people are aware of it, but there's 22.5 million veterans in the United States today. And of that, only 6.4 million actually get seen by the VA. So when you do the math, about 3/4 of the veterans out there don't go to the VA, but they go to a community provider. And a lot of people don't know that. So it's like, what can we do to recognize them and make things good for those people that we were promised to do? And the last one was we wanted to be a partner of choice, working closely with the Department of the VA, Department of Defense, and also working with the veteran service organizations throughout the community. And we wanted to make sure that we want to work collaboratively with them to, again, not only meet but exceed all standards and just provide a better service for our veterans.
Hmm. So let's start at the beginning with this notion of being an employer of choice. You mentioned sort of, you know, who you want because of the work ethic and because of some of those experiences that veterans have. How do you get them, and how do you recognize veterans?
Well, first of all, we had to create a webpage, and the webpage is sanfordhealth-veterans.jobs. What this site does is you go to it. For the military people, you can, when you get there, it's fairly easy to get to. You'll see a red, white, and blue flag and everything there. It's pretty obvious this is a military kind of site. And you type in your MOS or your NEC. It's basically your skill set job that a military person would know. And within a nanosecond, it will convert that into what jobs are available at Sanford. So it's very quick. It's very easy to use. And that is one thing that we did create.
So are you looking for, mainly medical professionals then? Folks from, who have a little bit of that experience in the military?
The majority of the people we're looking at, yes, would be medical because you think of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also looking for, people that run facilities, maintenance, because you think about it, this is a pretty big organization and we do have to have those support staff.
Sure. All right. So once, are you tracking how many veterans then you have? How do you know when you reach some sort of benchmark of success there?
Well, that's the thing. This is a brand new program. So I would think the more data we have, we can actually take a look and study that. So we are tracking that data now, but to be realistic, it might be a year from now before we can really take a good, analyze it and take a, good idea and see how we're doing. But along with this program here, we also have signed a statement of support for the Employee Support Guard and Reserve.
Mm.
Our CEO, Kelly Karabinoff, he did sign that statement in June, and it went out across the entire footprint of our 28,000 people that work for us.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm looking at you. Folks who are listening can't see that, the lanyard that you have around your neck, it says veteran right on it. It says Sanford Health, and then it has the word veteran there. Tell me a little bit how you're identifying people who work for you and why take that step.
Good question. It's in many different benefits of having identification. First of all, we want to make sure we recognize those employees that work at Sanford, but more importantly, for the veteran that goes receive care or treatment at one of our hospitals that's referred, say, from the VA, or even if not from the VA, the anxiety level coming into getting care and treatment is always pretty high.
Mm.
But if you were to see a physician or a nurse that is a veteran identified on their badge, that level will drop almost instantly. And we can already, not even knowing each other, start telling C stories or telling maybe things that have happened in the past, and we can relate to each other. And there's that fraternity or that brotherhood or sisterhood that, that could, again, allow the patient to open up. One thing that a lot of people don't know, but Secretary Shulkin from the VA said approximately 20 veterans kill themselves every day. And of that, 14 of those 20 are being seen by community providers. Only 6 are being seen by the VA. So here's another way, too, that when we can self-identify and start talking, maybe some way we can help that person out. Maybe there's something going on that we don't know about, but they can be more open to a provider. And this is just another benefit of this, if you want to call it this identification. It's one of the things that we're working on right now.
Mm. How are other employees sort of responding to some of these initiatives? What kind of support have Sanford employees and Sanford leadership shown for what you're trying to accomplish?
You know, this is, I haven't had one negative email or any type of negative comment. Mm-hmm. It's nothing but been outstanding. This last month of November, we've been running stories about employees and about their military history. And the feedback has just been unbelievable. It's been great.
Because I've worked at places, you know, where you might be having a conversation with other veterans and people have pushed back a little bit and said, you know, I'm tired of hearing about it, or, you know, industrial military complex, or, you know, people have different opinions about the military. You have to leave room for that. And this is a healthcare setting. Any thoughts on that? And on some people who might have an opposite reaction of seeing their healthcare providers, you know, wearing veteran identifications?
Well, there's always that, I don't know if you want to call it opportunity or risk or of that happening, but this culture and climate of Sanford has been nothing but positive. So could it happen? Probably it could, mm-hmm. but has it happened? Not as of yet. And so that's one of the great things about this program is just that everyone has been very positive about this program.
Sure. All right, let's talk about being a provider of choice and the millions of American veterans who are not being seen by the VA. First, why not just partner with the VA and make sure they get to where they need to go? Why develop a program at Sanford?
Well, we do partner with the VA. That's one of the things that a lot of the services they just can't provide, they come to us. Mm-hmm. And so we would like to mimic and making sure they have that same experience as they have at the VA at a minimum, and maybe even have a better one here. I mean, why not include or make things even better for a veteran if the opportunity is there? And with Sanford, they've been very, very positive and proactive about recognizing these veterans. So, excuse me. With some of the examples I could give you is if a veteran were to walk into the main campus, the main front entrance of Sanford here in Sioux Falls, you would see on the window clang would be, you know, thanking the veteran and military for their services going through the front door. You'd walk in 10 steps further and you would see all the service members' flags probably displayed there with the American flag, the MIAW flag. They would then go up to the registration, for example, to sign in. We would be asking them one of the questions is you know, have you any prior military service? And if they do answer that, we'd also be providing them a window cling, as we call it, that would go on like a state park sticker on their car. Mm-hmm. And then also we would give them a lapel pin to wear and recognize them as being a veteran. And the reason we do this is, for example, is when they do pull up, because we do a valet parking there. And our valet, you know, attendees there, we'll see that, again, as soon as they step out of the car, the very first thing they're going to be saying is thanking and recognizing them for the service. And by the way, the majority of our valets are veterans themselves. So yeah, they are very, very proud to recognize their fellow veterans there. And so we want from the second they get out of their car is to have a positive experience and to be recognized for the sacrifices they have given this country.
All right. So once they get into the system, are there ways that, you know, you're partnering with the federal VA or the state VA to talk about what benefits they might have? Or, you know, is it mostly an initiative to recognize and honor and sort of connect? Or does it go beyond that to sort of find out what specific needs they might have?
Well, it goes beyond that. Our first phase of this getting it actually built into the system. Remember, we're a fairly new department here.
Right, yeah.
And you just can't change IT systems in a matter of a minute or two. It takes a long time. But the first hurdle we've gone through is now at least we got them into the system.
Right.
We're working with other different organizations within the United States. And the one group we met with, they said 57% of the hospitals today in the United States have a tracking system for veterans, but only 7% actually do something with it.
Okay, right.
And so what our next phase is if we can understand, because remember, 3/4 of these veterans are not coming from the VA. They're walking in just on from their own, you know, using TRICARE, they're using Medicare, right. But it's an important part is if we know they're a veteran, and that will be our second phase, is okay, now that we know they're a veteran, it would be good for our providers to ask specific questions, you know, where have you served? there might be something, that ailment that you have, that could actually be something that was something, you know, connected with when you served. Giving an example of during the Gulf War, which was your era too, if you remember when all of those oil fields were set on fire and people were exposed to that, and now they have respiratory issues. Well, that would be something good for that provider to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same thing, if you were in Vietnam and you were exposed to Agent Orange, that'd be something that the provider should know. So there's a lot of different things, exposures too. Or if you're exposed to post-traumatic, you know, post-traumatic, some type of a situation, you were in combat. All those things are important, I think, when we're looking at taking care of the veterans and making sure we diagnose and treat them in the best way. And so this would be the second phase of doing it. But along with that, this is probably the most challenging, because we have to train our providers too.
Right.
And have them be able to stand the military, have to understand, you know, and find out and get this information of what these exposures might be out there. And that's where we work with the VA and working with, okay, what are some of those things, like Camp Lejeune, for example. If you're stationed there a while ago, the water was contaminated. And that's not only for the member, but the family members too. And maybe you were stationed there. And so those are things that we need to make sure we capture, so the providers can diagnose the person correctly and go and treat them the correct way. So, and then we have identified some stuff. Again, we can go back and forth and provide them the care they need, but also there might be some benefits, or there's something that the VA can help them out with, and turn around and send them to a veteran service officer, and making sure the veteran service officer goes through their record, making sure that everything is well documented, again, to get those benefits and get the right care and treatment.
Right, because that's a key point to this. If you have someone in and, you know, they have a service-connected health issue, it's not just about treating it, it's about connecting them with the right people. So how that, and that's more of a phase two sort of thing. How do you foresee that working? Veteran service officers, you know, connected in the facility, just having, you know, passing out their cards. How do you see sort of sending people to the place that they need to go to find out about their benefits, state and federal?
Good questions. We have this helpline hotline number, and I always, when I get calls like that, I always steer them toward the veteran service officers. But again, this will be the next phase. This is how we can somehow provide that navigation.
Sure.
Getting them to the right place. A lot of spouses specifically just don't know what their spouse went through and don't know what benefits are there. And so, again, it's an educational process, and that's probably going to be very challenging when you think of all those dependents, too, that come through and get care and treated to ensure that they understand their loved ones, what benefits they have and what those family members might have, too, that come with that. And so that is the third part when I was talking about partnering of choice.
Sure.
I not only work with the VA, but I, you know, work closely with the veteran service officers. I also work closely with the American Legion, the VFW, Purple Heart, all those different DAV, all those organizations. You know, but bottom line, if there's anything that the people that are listening out there is if you have any questions, I would highly recommend go to their county veteran service officer, sit down with them. They are the subject matter experts. They are up to speed on all the laws and regulations. They are the primary person that I would go seek out first if they ever have any questions. Because if they call me, that's where I'm going to steer them to first.
Okay. So what's the Sanford hotline? You mentioned that. Tell me more.
The Sanford hotline, it can be used for anything when it comes to the military. If you have any questions and you can't find, say, well, you want a job at Sanford and you can't find it, help navigate, you can call that number. They will get you through the HR people. You know, I mean, if it's about a bill, they'll get you to the billing people. If whatever in regards to your experiences at Sanford, and if you can't figure it out, call the 1-800 number. And again, that's 1-800-949-1848.
All right. So what's your vision going forward? Because you are just getting started. There's some initial things that show, you know, a commitment and a dedication, and the right conversations are happening. You know, spin this forward and see how do you see it being an integral part of who Sanford is in the future?
Well, like I said, with the amount of returning veterans that are coming from, you know, we've been at war basically nonstop for 15 years.
Mm.
So we are going to see an increase of veterans needing medical care, you know, as they get older in age, as far as that. But what can we do? What programs will I have in place? And also, what programs we have, because the Guard and Reserve has been so important to supplement the active component. And if we continue to mobilize them, which we are, we have to take care of not only them, but the family members that, you know, that are behind. Those are huge challenges in how we ensure when they come back they have a job waiting for them. And so I want to make sure we expand in those programs to supporting those family members of those deployed overseas, and also looking again forward as for how we can reduce, you know, with post-traumatic stress, how can we reduce suicide, which again is increasing not only, you know, in this area but throughout the nation.
Are there specific efforts for sort of figuring out that mental health component at this point, other than, you know, the idea that if you start by tracking, you know, people and having them self-identify that you might be tipped off to something? Are there other things in the works there?
Well, the VA is definitely taking the lead because they had did a very intensive study that just was released this last year. And they have great resources and tools, and those I am sharing with our providers. I have upcoming meetings. I have one next week. I have, you know, not only including ours, but with our other community providers along with the VA, we're coming together next week. I'll be speaking about it. But in next spring, too, I'll be having groups of many of our providers. Again, it's an educational process, and we just need to continue to capture and gather data. With this new system in Epic, I think this will only help, too, as far as being able to identify and hopefully work together and find solutions to get the best care and treatment for these veterans, because they are a unique group of individuals. You think about it, being that they're deployed all over, and what they go through is not a normal, you know, civilian type of a job here. And so they're unique, and so I think the only way we can do this is we have to work collaboratively together and share best practices and share lessons learned in order for us to really to accomplish, you know, and make reduce hopefully significantly anything associated with post-traumatic stress and also suicide.
Are you seeing other healthcare providers throughout the country who have similar initiatives?
I haven't seen many. And I in this region here, I think we are one of the leaders, if not in the lead, in this regional area as a community provider doing this. But there's other ones I've talked to in other parts of the United States that are recognizing this and moving forward and doing it. So I think everybody wants to do it. It's just getting the time, the resources, and the right people in the right place to get it done.
You have a breakfast coming up, is that right? You want to talk about that at all?
Yes. Tomorrow morning we will be hosting a breakfast for veterans and active military people, Guard Reserve members, at our local VFW here in Sioux Falls. And during that breakfast, I will be updating them with what we kind of talked about today, along with the announcement we are going to be announcing tomorrow, too, of a veterans club that will be built and open hopefully this spring here in Sioux Falls at our main campus. So it will be, I believe, the first in the area, maybe in the region, to have a, basically, for those veterans out there listening, a USO concept.
Okay.
Where you're going to have a place where, if you're going to be, say, at the hospital for testing or a long period extent of time, you might have surgery for, you know, might be there for 2-3 days or a week, 2 weeks, who knows. But if you are there, you or your loved ones, family members that are there to visit you, or you're there, you have a place to come to relax, maybe have share some camaraderie with some other veterans. But it's going to be about 1,000 square foot facility room where you're going to have a like lounge area, a little coffee mess if you want to call it there. We call it a galley, and a TV and some computers to be able to communicate to your loved ones, email them, let them know how things are going, to just maybe just want to relax, you just want to chill out. You want to have a safe place, as we would call it, you know, as a USO. Kind of want to get away from everything and just a place to lower your anxiety, just to relax. And again, it's all about care and treatment of our veterans, and they are all veterans probably are familiar with USOs, are familiar with types of this type of a place, just a safe haven to kind of go and long as you're there, we might as well try to make it as best as possible for you.
And that's going to be right on the campus of
you just walk in the front door.
Of the hospital?
Of the hospital, there. And we will have not a groundbreaking, but an actual ribbon-cutting ceremony this next spring, and we'll definitely give everybody tours of the facility and kind of show everybody what it's all about, and then we'll hopefully open the doors this spring.
Interesting. All right. So, and where's the breakfast is at? The Sioux Falls VFW Post 628, right?
South Minnesota Avenue. Yeah.
All right. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Anything else here that you think is important for veterans to know about what's ahead for Sanford, what you should be looking for?
Well, there's a lot of things that are downstream, but again, some of those things are in the works, and I kind of want to wait until we make sure that everything, all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed before we announce some of those. But we're not stopping here. We're moving forward. It's neat thing about this is they have given me the opportunity to build this. And I think the ground floor has finally been, built, foundation, if you want to call that. But now we're going to have to move forward. And like I said, the support has been outstanding. So we will continue to educate, and I have no problems coming back here, maybe in the near future when we go to the next level. But a few more exciting things that we're in the plans right now. But
what are you optimistic about going forward? What have you seen so far that makes you feel like you could get where you think this should go as, your vision?
Everything that I have proposed to senior leadership, they have not even hesitated. Everything that, that is within reason, yes, go forward. Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. Sounds great, Paul. Keep it up. It's just been overwhelmingly so positive, and the support has just been great. My boss is a veteran himself and a Guard member, so these are the people we have within our organization. There is a lot of veterans within our organization, and so that's cool thing, too, is they're all very supportive about what's going on and moving forward. Sky's the limit. I'm just going to keep plugging along here.
All right. One more question, and that's that when you look at what's happening at the VA, you see a lot of specific targeted work toward women veterans. Are you making that distinction at Sanford, that the women veterans might have different needs than male veterans, or is it just the veteran umbrella for you?
Well, right now, I see it's just the veteran umbrella. Needs for women, definitely when it comes for care and treatment on the medical side, clinical side, definitely they have different needs. And I know that the VA is working on trying to increase or make that a place. But a lot of the VA patients right now have to come to Sanford or other community providers because we already have those facilities and those treatments and care that we can provide women right now. You think about it, in the civilian world, we've already been there. But on the military side, when you and I were in, when we first joined, women couldn't be in combat. Mm. But today they are. And so, again, things have to shift, and we have to comply. We have to meet the needs of not just some, but all. So we are going to meet or exceed all those needs, not only for women, but for disabled veterans, to all veterans alike. So we were going to treat them, meet or exceed all standards or requirements.
Paul Weckman is the current director of Sanford's new Department of Veterans and Military Services. He's a retired U.S. Navy captain. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
You're welcome, and I appreciate the opportunity.